you might be surprised to learn that Pennsylvania is home to a number of wetlands called peatlands. Peat is partially decomposed plant and sometimes animal material. It forms over time in wet, acidic conditions, which also happen to provide a unique habitat for birds, insects, and plants. Scientists are trying to learn more about these ecosystems, which are vulnerable to climate change and development. I tagged along with some conservationists who are looking closely at peatland sites, including one in the Laurel Highlands in southwestern Pennsylvania. When I meet up with a group of scientists in the parking lot of Laurel Summit State Park, there are clues about what we're in for.
I always go with a hiking pole, which is especially good for wetlands for testing out how deep the water is or how far you might sink in.
David Yaney is an ornithologist with the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. His colleague, Marianne Ferretti, is suiting up.
Everyone else is going with knee boots. I didn't bring mine, so I'm going to go with chest waders.
Ferretti is an ecologist with the Conservancy and the monitoring and assessment manager for this effort to study 30 peatland sites in Pennsylvania, which are mostly located in the northeast and northwestern part of the state. But it's just a short walk along a gravel trail to see one here. Ephraim Zimmerman is a plant community ecologist and, like his colleagues, part of the Pennsylvania Natural Heritage Program, which looks at rare species and habitat in the state.
So this is a red oak mixed hardwoods forest that's up at the top of this ridge.
We're about 2,700 feet above sea level, pretty high for this part of the state. Along the trail, we see rhododendron, pink mountain laurel, and a lot of thigh-high ferns in the shade. And then
it's kind of opened up into this
sunny, more graminoid, grass-dominated wetland. There's some blueberry bushes.
A small boardwalk has been built here so that visitors can get a closer look at the carnivorous pitcher plants, which are blooming now with tall purple flowers. They look like upside-down umbrellas. A few different species of dragonflies zoom about.
So Spruce Flats Bog is the name of this locality, but it has no spruce here.
Apparently, Zimmerman says, the frontier people and workers who logged this area called any conifer tree a spruce. They removed a lot of the pine and hemlock seeds from the area.
Here in the wetland is one of the only places where there's still the conifer component.
They're trees that produce cones. Tall, windswept ones line the perimeter, and spindly little evergreens dot the interior, like islands. Some of the stumps from the trees that were logged create another feature of this landscape.
These hummocks themselves, they might only be a foot high, but in that small elevation change, you have moisture differences. And so you could have four or five, six different species of moss growing there.
Mosses are bryophytes, and it's one type of plant they're monitoring. Sphagnum moss is by far the most common here.
It almost looks like a green shag rug from the 70s. I like to call it nature's sponge because it can just hold a tremendous amount of water.
Spruce Flats Bog is also home for many common animal species like deer and bear. But a butterfly called the bog copper relies on peatland habitat and the wild cranberry plants found in Pennsylvania's peatlands. And of course, there are birds.
There was a Canada warbler singing over here, and Canada warbler is one of our top focal species.
These are birds they're paying special attention to because the need for conservation is so high. In Canada, they're listed as threatened. Yaney says the male has a slate gray back and a contrasting yellow face and chest. We can't see it in the dense shrub, but we listen for the call.
What kind of sound does it make?
So it's kind of chip, chip-choppity, cheep-chirpity. It's kind of a fast, sputtery song.
Yaney says there are 90 bird species of greatest conservation need in Pennsylvania, and within that group are species like the yellow-bellied flycatcher and blackpoll warbler.
These type of wetlands within the state are the only place that they breed. Birds are really linked to habitat type, and that's one reason that we're looking at birds, because they're a good indicator of change. They're a good way to monitor what's going on within a system.
These birds, Yaney says, have a boreal affinity, boreal meaning north. Ephraim Zimmerman says that's what makes these places in Pennsylvania so unusual.
In Maine and Wisconsin and in Canada, where you have these vast expanses of these boreal ecosystems, we have something that's kind of a remnant, a southern extreme of this type.
To get to the study plot where some of the plant and animal communities here are measured and recorded, we head off the trail, and the ground starts to become less solid within a couple of minutes. Soon, it's like walking on a waterbed across stretches of moss. and it smells a little like a wet basement.
It's always good to stick to the higher points if you don't want to sink in too far.
Like, yeah, I'm ankle deep now. Oh. Uh-oh. Okay, there we go.
Pro tip, to avoid getting stuck, aim for moss that's lighter in color. It's drier and more likely to be solid underneath.
All right, you made it. You made it to plot number one.
Here, Zimmerman takes a soil core sample to get a better picture of what's happening in the muck beneath our feet.
So I'm cutting through the roots and the living material of the sphagnum.
He slices at it with a small knife and removes it. Then he grabs onto a longer tool that looks like a pogo stick with a sharp end.
This is the soil auger, and this is what you can do to get the deeper material. I can't reach my hand down that much farther. I get progressively more decomposed material as I go lower.
It gets progressively darker, too. Peatland is acidic. There's little oxygen, so the plants here decompose slowly, and the soil core samples tell a story.
Some of our peatlands, we've seen that there would be a layer of undecomposed peat, and then there would be a layer of very decomposed plant material, and then another undecomposed layer. So some kind of shift happened. Many hundreds of years data is found within these peatlands.
Climate change could alter the ecosystem here. Climate models predict more wet weather for Pennsylvania. Zimmerman says that could mean the entire water table rises, pushing the wetland out into the surrounding trees. Marianne Ferretti says the trees in this wetland act like straws, sucking up water, then it evaporates into the atmosphere. Higher temperatures from global warming could increase evaporation, creating different patterns of drying here.
The purpose of the work that we're doing is beginning to document what's here, and without that good solid baseline data, we don't have a comparison for just future scenarios.
David Yaney says when they come back in 5 to 7 years to do the next round of sampling, they'll see how conditions have changed.
A really important thing is to be able to provide this information to land managers and conservation groups, and we can provide them this information to help direct management and conservation activities that they might do here.
Ephraim Zimmerman says one thing they know for sure is that change is constant. This wetland will someday become a shrub swamp and then revert back into the hemlock forest, if the hemlock woolly adelgid pest doesn't kill them first.
Over a little bit farther away, maybe a family of beavers move in and flood the area and turn it back into this open wetland again. So the more that you protect large areas like this and connected landscapes, you can protect the high quality small areas within that larger matrix.
That way the plants and animal species in this special little pocket of habitat have a chance to adapt and survive, whatever the future brings. That's the water in my boot. For more stories in our series about wildlife and conservation, head to our website, alleghenyfront.org/wildpa.